Hello and welcome to another edition of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marcus Chipper. I'm Colin Byers, and with me fighting off the meat sweats from all the Christmas turkey is Martin Smith. Martin, hello.
Hello.
Right, this week we'll be looking back on a Friday last home game of 2019 against Clyde, having a look at Peterhead's team of the decade, as well as their moments of the decade, and looking forward to our first game of 2020, a trip to Kirkcaldy to play Raith Rovers. Martin, how are you? How was your Christmas?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, yourself?
It's not too bad. It was good. Right, so first of all, we're just going to start by saying the eagle-eared of you out there might be noticing a slight hoarseness to my voice. That was because we, and I'm going to say we because you were just as bad as what I was, we kind of got caught up in the fiery atmosphere on Saturday, so hopefully we managed to plough through this and get through it without too much of a problem. It was a fiery affair. It didn't start off as a fiery affair, but it soon became pretty fiery towards the end of the first half.
Yeah, I thought the first 20 minutes of the game started off really slow. Neither team really settled. I think slightly tricky conditions to start the game as well. A bit of wind and rain, as you'd expect at Ballymore these days. But yeah, like you said, towards the end of the first half, a couple of challenges flying in. And it certainly kicked off from there, I'd say.
It did indeed. Right, so we'll look at the game as a whole then. There was three changes for Peterhead. In came Fraser, Armour and Lyle. McAllister dropped to the bench. Leach and Conroy dropped out of the squad altogether. Armour got a start on the right and Stevenson was on the left. So it was pretty much a change in personnel, but the formation was pretty much set with that 4-1-4-1 that he usually goes with.
Yeah, I don't think he wanted to change too much away from it. We spoke the last couple of weeks. Formations we think is now right for the team and the personnel. So like you said, a couple of personnel changes came in. And I think as a whole, they all did really well yesterday.
You mentioned the wind. We had the wind and the rain for large parts of the first half. You could see that even though Clyde were playing with the wind, they really did kind of struggle a little bit because even just a simple kick out for the goalkeeper was going right out at the other end. And they just couldn't handle it, really.
Yeah, we've seen the teams, the way they lined up in the first half. They had the wind with them. We thought we were in for a tough 45 minutes. Turned out to actually favoured us. Like you said, their short passing, they couldn't get that going either. The keeper plays out a ball out from the back and it bounces all the way through to Fleming. They really struggled. And I think after the first 20 minutes, we then got into the game. I don't know whether it was a tactic to try and sit that slightly bit deeper because we didn't have the wind or not. But after about 21 minutes, I think we sort of came into the game and played well from there.
It was noticeable that Clyde picked up pretty quickly that Fleming's kicking is pretty poor at the best of times. And against the wind, it was even worse. So the fact that they set up quite high up, a high press, I should say, not allowing Fleming to get a short pass or a short throw out to Brown or to Ferguson or to Hooper or Boyle on the other side, it made it much more difficult for us to get anything the first half against the wind, I should say. And that was obviously something that they picked up on pretty quick. However, having said that, once we did get the passing going, it was quite obvious that we could work against the wind, but have it in our favour as such.
Yeah, so just to touch on first, you mentioned Greg Fleming's kicking. It's slightly disappointing early on in the first half that the full-backs didn't drop that slight bit deeper to give Fleming an option. I felt that at times he looked up the park and the only option he had was, I say, a long ball. It only travelled about 30 yards in the end.
He was leading on a halfway line sometimes.
He's kicking something the best of time, but even worse yesterday. Full-backs have got to give him an option, or whether it's the centre-backs. Just although they've pushed up the park as such, just drop deeper very quickly, take the ball, and then build from there. Like I said, once we did get the ball on the deck midway through the game, we did look pretty good. I thought some of our short passing was good, albeit against the wind.
There was a couple of chances for Clyde, but now you could say was really worth writing home about. A save for Faye Fleming's from a header, I think, but that was pretty much it for the first sort of 25 minutes. And then Lyle's goal on 30 was a good bit of play from Ferguson and Armour down the right, and Armour getting a cross in as well to Lyle, who was somehow unmarked at the back post.
Excellent cross, especially when we've just said we were against the wind. I thought it was a really good cross. Clyde haven't dealt with it at all, and how Lyle is unmarked. I think he's got time, was it a chest to take it down and touch. And then he's put it away as well, so he probably couldn't believe his luck either. I know it's Christmas time, but it was certainly a gift for him. He's managed to slot it away, and we never looked back from there, really built on it.
And we've been saying, we noticed that the amount of times in the last couple of weeks that Ferguson making those runs down the right was quite often two against one. He had no help, because obviously Conroy had been playing and he'd be cutting inside, whereas this time around, Armour was pretty much staying wide as possible, as much as he could. And that made a difference, because it allowed Ferguson to get forward and make those sort of 1-2 passes and interchange, and that's what happened with the first goal. They got a little bit of an interchange between two of them, got a cross in and got the goal. It sounds so simple when you date like that, but that's what we've been looking for the last few weeks.
Yeah, they made it look, Peterhead made it look simple, because like you said, Armour's been more out wide rather than Conroy coming inside, so it wasn't as congested. Ferguson and Armour, I thought, linked up well throughout the game. They haven't played often together. Good cross in, and we've finished off, but that goal comes by Armour staying out wide. It's quite easy to drift inside, I think, if he's not involved in the game as much. Quite easy to sort of lose your place. He's been out wide, and he's got the reward of it by a good cross in.
Right, and that brings us on to, shall we say, the first melee of the game. It happened right in front of us. So what's your take on it straight away then? The Browns tackle on Goodwill, was it reckless? Was it a yellow? Was it just a foul?
For me personally, it's just a foul. I think the referee's taken into consideration the conditions. He's got it. Yeah, it's a strong challenge, but 5 years ago that wasn't a challenge. It was, you know, really a concern. He's gone in, he's strong, he's slightly late, but I don't think there's anything malicious in it. What made it worse was the melee that succumbed after it.
The fact that Goodwillie himself doesn't actually make too much of it would suggest that he's quite happy to take those hits. He's probably done it quite a lot, or he's had it against him quite a lot in his career, and he just gets on with it. But the fact that you've got somebody like Ali Love, who's run 30 or 40 yards to remonstrate.
The quickest he moved the whole the first half.
He's never moved so fast and he's probably in his career, I would suggest. But he's run 40 yards to remonstrate and get involved with the referee. That doesn't go down well at all with anybody. If he doesn't do that, there is no melee. There is no bookings for anybody.
Yeah, I think the referee, we were, as you said, right in front of us, we can sort of hear what the referee said. He said pretty much that, you know, it's a foul, no more about it. And Ali Love screaming in the referee's face and that should be a yellow card. The referee wasn't going to book for the challenge. It was only the melee that succumbed because of the Clyde players have run in. Ali Love especially from 30, 40 yards. It was poor from Clyde, but it wasn't the first time that a couple of players have been in the referee's face. I thought the first half the referee actually had a good game. It's not often I'll say it about a Scottish referee, but first half he was good.
I thought he dealt with it pretty well. He booked the guys who needed to be booked. Love being the prime target for that, and he kept going after as well, though. He kept mouthing after to the referee and then the linesman as well. I mean, the linesman's about another 50 yards further back. I mean, what's he going to do about it? But because we are so close, we can actually hear what they're saying as well, which is a good thing, I think, sometimes as well. But he just wouldn't have shut up, and he kept going the first half, because he was playing up the left. You know, we maybe gave him a bit of dog's abuse as well, but he just needed to shut up.
When he's run 40 yards to remonstrate with the referee, you know, that should be an instant yellow card anyway. He's run 40 yards to scream at the referee, that should be his first booking, and then for continually badgering on the referee, who himself even said, it's a foul, no more, we'll get on with it. And he only dished out yellow cards because there was a melee that followed.
It would have been quite easy for the referee then just to go, oh, actually, maybe it is a worse tackle than I thought, and then produce a yellow or even a red for Jason Brown. But he dealt with it well.
But what he's done well, in my opinion, is he stopped and he took a couple of seconds before he even put his hands in his pockets to think what he's going to do. He's taken a step back, assessed the situation, and then dealt with it from there.
Yeah. So that was kind of the end of the first half. Nothing much else happened there. Second half, the wind had obviously died in a little bit. Peterhead were much the better team second half. A lot of long-range efforts, though. Brown and Fraser seemed to have their own little wee competition to see if he could score for a long range the first, and neither of them really got anywhere near it. I think Fraser had one that just kind of skimmed over the top, but then that was pretty much it. Again, Clyde didn't really offer much going forward second half.
No, they didn't do much throughout the game. It looked like I don't think they were trying to hit us in the counter, but obviously us scoring early on maybe changed our game plan somewhat. I don't know whether they were hoping to get in the second half at 0-0 and then build from there, but against the wind as well, I know it died down slightly, still tricky conditions. They never really posed Fleming too much of a problem.
No. And then the McAllister came on as a sub, and then we got the second melee, and because a matter of minutes he was on, and he got a booking. It's farcical again from a Clyde player. This time it was goalkeeper David Mitchell. Hasn't covered himself in any glory at all in this situation. Again, it happened right in front of us. We've seen McAllister going in, and he's entitled to go for the ball.
Absolutely.
He's a striker, that's what he's going to do. Okay, he doesn't get there, but he barely makes any contact with Mitchell. In fact, he doesn't even make any contact with his face or head. And then Mitchell's lying about as if he's been shot.
We'd have been one of the first people to criticise McAllister if he'd pulled out of that challenge. So first of all, I'm delighted that he's actually going for it 50-50, if that. And as you said, Mitchell's got rolling about. I think he's still rolling now, actually, at the time. He's just made an absolute farcical decision. I don't know why he thinks it's acceptable to continue to roll around and hold his face and remonstrate with the referee. And I don't think the referee seen too much in it either. He's seen it for what it was. It was two committed players going for it.
I think it was maybe that was occasion that he was too far away from it. And obviously with, I think there was a defender there about as well, which may have just kind of blocked his actual view of it. But he's obviously thinking the goalkeeper's been hit in the face or head. So he's booked McAllister, rightly or wrongly. But David Mitchell just hasn't really adhered himself to the home fans there at all. And then he stupidly gets himself booked straight after it as well, because he tries to take the free kick about 30 yards further forward than where it should have been. The referee told him twice to move it back. He moved it back, and then he just moved it back forward again, and then he gets himself a book. So the guys behind the goal were absolutely giving him pelters. We were giving him pelters as well. Deservedly so, I think, again, because if you're going to try and do things like that, cheat your way through games, then you need to get called out.
It's one thing being tactical, shall we say, maybe taking a foul 10, 15 yards further forward, but from the referees looking at you and clearly kicked the ball back towards you, telling you, take it from there, and you've picked it up and kicked it again forward, the referee's going to book you. It's just clear descent.
We might as well just take free kicks wherever, that kind of thing. It did get to the point where he gave us the old specky eyes hand gesture. I've been wearing glasses for 25 years. I've heard him before. I mean, if that's as original that he can come up with, then old power term kind of thing. But it didn't bother me in the slightest. And I'm sure he'll get more as his career goes on.
Quite pleased we're picked out, actually, from the
club. I know, he's actually picked us out.
So thank you very much for that, David.
Because he could have been enemy behind the goal, but no, the guy sitting with the glasses guy. Right, so the second goal, which killed the game off, fantastic work for McAllister to set up Scott Brown. He's beaten a couple of men inside the box, and you actually think he's going to hit, but he's done the right thing. He's picked out a man, and Brown's just slotted at home.
I think Brown, he's sort of coming into the box late on, but as you said, McAllister looks like he's going to shoot. Just drops that shoulder ever slightly, opens up his body and plays. It's the weight of the pass as well. Brown can just take it on his instep, and as you said, 2-0 to finish the game off.
To finish the game. It was 86 minutes, so it was pretty much game over. I mean, it was pretty much game over anyway. I think, as I said, Clyde offered much in the way of going forward, anything. So I think it was pretty much a well-deserved 3 points. There was one last melee, the third one of the game, and it was a red card for Simon Ferry. At this point, I think the referee kind of lost complete control, and Clyde were just in his ear the whole time, and I think they possibly swung this one for him. I think Ferry's going for a 50-50, and he's the one that's actually been picked out for a red card. I mean, it could have gone either way, I think.
Yeah.
And the fact that Jim said that after in his press that Simon Ferry's got a bruise on his shin after the tackle would suggest that I wouldn't say he's a victim, but he wasn't exactly going in for a reckless tackle if he's getting a bruise on his shin.
We were quite happy with the referee in the first half that he took a couple of seconds to think with the first melee, and this one he was very quick to get the red card out. I think both the linesmen were on the pitch as well, trying to help him, trying to dissect what had happened. But that melee, the referee's given out the red card pretty quick, but the melee's come about with the fact that everybody's just pushing and shoving. Again, that comes from the Clyde players.
Mm-hmm.
The goalkeeper, David Mitchell, he's run 40 yards again. There seems to be a pattern here of Clyde players who are furthest away, seems just the first one's there. So he's recovered pretty well from his challenge with Rory McAllister. As you said, referee lost control a wee bit at that point.
And I think that one will be appealed. I wouldn't guess whether or not it's going to be rescinded or not, because you know how things are with the SFA and the league. But it was a ridiculous kind of decision to make at the end of the game. He then proceeded then to book another three players during that melee as well. So it was the first time we've had him this season. We'll certainly remember him for the next game, if we do have him again.
It was a tale of two halves for the referees.
Yeah,
good in the first half, but lost a wee bit.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him at half time. Maybe he didn't enjoy his pie or something, or his cup of tea, whatever it was. But he certainly was a changed man in the second half. But hopefully, Pierre would go in and appeal that one, and he's free to play next week again, because he'll be a mess. Because I would think if that's not rescinded, I think that would probably be about a two game ban, something like that. So it'd be a big miss. We did hear in the week that Jim was saying that he was going to give Ben Armour his chance in the team. We might have thought it might have been as a striker, because that was what he was brought in to be, but he played on the wing. Jim said after the game that he sees him more as a wide player now. We don't normally pick out individual players, but he played particularly well on Saturday, given the conditions and given the team we were playing. He did really well to come in.
Yeah, we scored our first goal, as we said earlier on, from Ben Lee's crossing. He had a couple of good crosses throughout the game, but also his link-up play with Ferguson, I think that could be a good point going forward in the season, them two linking up well. If that is what Jim decides to play him out wide, hopefully it's wide right rather than wide left and cutting in.
Yeah, so if he's going to be playing, it looks like Smith and Armour, who were brought in effectively as strikers, are now going to be playing wide. It does leave the only two natural strikers are Rory McAllister and Derek Lyle. They're not, in no disrespect to them, but they're not going to carry your team for the rest of the season. So I would think, and I think Jim has admitted that he is looking in the market for a striker, a goal scorer, and that's probably where his business is going to lie for the next few weeks, I think.
Yeah, I think going by his comments of playing Ben wide right or out in the wide area, a striker would be top of the shopping list for January.
I think so. What we've been told, there has been no sort of concrete business to come in yet. The key word, I think, being yet. So we'll just keep an eye on what's going to happen for the next few weeks. Hopefully something will crop up sooner rather than later. But getting on to McAllister and Lyle, we said before, and Jim had said in previous weeks, that he needs to manage those two. What we saw was that Lyle played, 65-70 minutes, did really well, and then McAllister came on almost as an impact sub, and that maybe suits him slightly better now, rather than trying to get 80 minutes or 90 minutes out of him, because he kind of did week in week now. I think we can admit that, and he'd probably admit that himself. But if he's going to come on and give us 15-20 minutes every now and again, then I'm quite happy with that, because he's set up the second goal.
That's maybe the role that Rory will now take up. If we do get another striker in January, that could be the role that him and Derek Lyle might take up, the impact subs coming on with 15-20 minutes to go. He set up the second goal. His contribution was good. He was only on for a short period of time, but I thought Derek Lyle did well in the time that he was on. So both strikers linked up. Lyle got the first goal, Calcer set up the second goal, so their contribution as a whole was really good.
We mentioned the referee, but the Clyde tactics weren't the greatest either. They kept getting in his ear most of the game. Would you say they probably started out playing for a draw and they were just trying to break up the game as much as possible?
Yeah, I think they probably would have felt, coming up to Balmoor, going by their form and our form, that a draw might have been a favourable result for them going back down the road. I think they probably set up for it, and the conditions certainly didn't help them, but they probably hadn't banked on us getting that an early goal.
That's 7 points now we've got against them this season in the three games. The draw that we got was at home when we're down to 10.
Yeah.
Probably feel as though we might have gotten all 3 points out of that game, but we've got 7 out of 9 from them. So, I mean, it did get quite fiery at times. As I said, the atmosphere was totally different to what a normal home game would be. Was that just because of the game, or was it because of the opposition, or was it a combination of both, maybe?
I think a combination of both. We sort of had a good battle with them last season, and I think that's continued into this season. I think the red card for Goodwillie in the first game, it sort of got that little bit of niggle throughout with both teams. There was certainly a little bit more than niggle on Saturday, but yeah, it made for a good game, I thought, and then a little niggle throughout the game. It was quite nice to see.
You like to see a lot, niggle, but you like to kind of see. To be fair, I think Peterhead players themselves handled themselves pretty well because they didn't get involved with any sort of retaliation kind of tackles. They weren't exactly going, right, we're going to get stuck in. I think they handled themselves pretty well. Apart from maybe Jason Brown's tackle in the first half, which resulted in the first melee, I think everybody probably did really well. And the fact that the Clyde players were at the referee and they were trying to do everything, that was their only way that they maybe could get something out of the game.
Yeah.
And they felt that they were always going to be second best, and that's maybe how they were trying to get something out of the game rather than try to play football.
I think once they were going in, they looked a bit rattled. Like you said, maybe targeting the referee if they could maybe get a player sent off. Not suggesting that they were looking to do that, but
no, well, you're over there and I suggest anything.
Suggest anything, but on the from the outside, it did look like there was other tactics maybe trying to be implemented from them.
But anyway, we left pretty happy, a little hoarse, as I said, but delighted with the 3 points. Sets us up nicely for the turn of the year, so hopefully it won't be that. Continue. So the last home game or the last game of the decade went past. In the previous weeks, the Buccane Observer have been asking the fans for their team of the decade, selecting the goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders and strikers. If you haven't seen what the team was, then the team run through was Graham Smith, Graham Sharp, Stephen Noble, Bobby Mann, Jason Brown, Simon Ferris, Scott Brown, Jack Leach, Andy Rogers, Martin Bavage and Rory McAllister. I don't think there's maybe any too much argument with those players. I think certainly the front three would probably pick themselves. Anybody that didn't make it that you want to mention, do you think maybe we're close?
Gibson. Willie Gibson. He must have been pretty close. And obviously Smith and goals with Fleming, they were pretty...
I think they said that Fleming was beaten by 2 votes.
There you go.
It might have only been two votes, but he was beaten by 2 votes.
But over the decade, we've had some really good players that aren't in that team.
Yeah.
Over the decade, we've had a lot of good players.
I mean, even Jamie Stevenson could probably think himself a little unlucky not to get in a right back position. He's done pretty well over the years, and as I said, there's a few names that have been probably missing. Willie Gibson's the prime example. Even somebody like Shane Sutherland, who's been at Peterhead a couple of times, but did well for us at the tail end of the second half of the season last season. So I mean, there has been some really good players. Some players have joined towards the end of their careers, the twilights of their careers, and we had somebody like Cammy Kerr, who joined from Dundee on loan just at the start of his career. He's now going on to be a regular now at Dundee. So we've seen some really good players. We've maybe seen some not so good players, but I think you could probably get that in most teams around the world. So I was quite happy with the team. The fact that Ferry, Brown and Leach are all in, maybe it's because they are regulars at the moment. They're fresh in people's minds. Maybe not. Maybe they're
very good team.
Very good team. Wouldn't mind having some of them playing again in their prime. So we talked as well about our moments, Peter's moment of the decade. I mentioned on social media that for me it was the Hearts win in 2017 in the Betfred Cup. That was quite. It was a decent Hearts team as well at the time. Maybe not so much at the moment, but they were a decent. I mean, they had players like Kyle Lafferty playing for them, so it wasn't exactly they were a pushover. So for me, that was the highlight or the my moment for, or the decade. Yourself,
mine would be promotion last season. Maybe not the overall highlight of the game, but the previous game we conceded so late in the day, 92nd, 93rd minute, we could have won promotion that day. And the atmosphere as everyone leaving was so flat and deflated. I think it would have been understandable had we gone into the next game with that still in the back of our mind. And then things sort of unravel from there, but we didn't. We got promotion, and it's based on how flat we were in the 93rd minute the week before to get in promotion the week after. That is my highlight.
Obviously, the other league title win as well would be up there. People obviously would mention the games against Celtic and Rangers at home. Not exactly wins, but there were spectacles, I think you would call them. They're not very often you're going to get teams like that coming to play at Balmoor. Certainly, the first game against Rangers, when they can drop down the divisions, I think Peter would think themselves unlucky not to have won that game, because I think Rangers equalised late on to get a 2-2. So there's a few highlights from the last decade, so hopefully we're going to have a few more starting this season, hopefully with a fine end to the 2020. And again, when I mentioned the Hearts game, but it proves that Peterhead can be a difficult place to come. I know that we drew with Rangers, we beat Hearts, because Celtic had 3-0, I think the game was. But it proves that Peterhead can be a difficult place to come, especially with the distance. It's a small pitch. It's an open pitch, so it's affected by the elements, which you don't get in most stadiums these days, because they've got their stands built in such a way that the wind is and things like that come. So it should be, I wouldn't say it should be a fortress, but you know, we should be making it much more difficult for teams to come up and get points.
I think sometimes when teams come up, they maybe don't realise how small the pitch actually is if they've never been up before. I think we've seen that from Falkirk come up early in the season. They maybe thought they were going to knock about, nice game of football, didn't turn out to be that way. When the elements aren't great at Balmoor, we seem to do better than the away team do. We sort of adjust to the conditions better. Obviously, playing there more regularly, we would do that. We'd like to see Balmoor being more, as you said, the word fortress, maybe not that strong, but I would like to see us getting more points. We do seem to shoot ourselves in the foot some weeks by giving away poor goals and not getting the right result from the game. So hopefully going into the new year, that can start to change.
It's a strange one as well, because we know how things are on the coast. And as I said, you don't get the elements like that anywhere else. If you go to somewhere like Pataudry, for example, it is built in such a way that the stands cover the wind and that, so you maybe on the pitch level you don't see it. But particularly on Saturday, you can see that even that ball, maybe 5-10 yards off the ground, was being affected by the wind. It's quite funny for us sometimes watching it. I bet it's frustrating as hell for the players. I think we should be getting more points at home than we are currently. Every team should be fearing coming up here, I think. And that's not been overly egotistical or anything like that, but I think that's what we should do. Everybody should be fearing coming to Balmoor more often, but that's just me. So as we turn into the new year, we'll continue to ask you for your New Year's resolutions, Peterhead based New Year's resolutions. We've had some crackers coming in so far. We have a voucher from our sponsor Marco's Chipper to the winner, so we'll probably be doing that next in our next episode. I think things are back to normal. I think we're back to normal with the drinking of the day of the week it is or anything like that, but we're back to kind of normality with the podcast next time round. So we'll get a winner picked out for that in the next one. So the first game of the new year is away trip to Raith for what seems to be like the 20th time this season. We've played them four times now, five times. We know them pretty well. They know us pretty well. It's just a matter of going down there and, as Jim says, not conceding within the first 10 minutes.
Which we seem to do every time we play Wraith. I bang on about every time we've got to go down to Kirkcaldy, dinna concede early. You watch a game and then within 10 minutes we've conceded. So again, I'll say, go don't down concede. There, dinna concede early.
That should be the New Year's resolution. Yeah. Don't concede early goals.
Give ourselves a platform to build on, because I generally think Wraith aren't in the best of form either, kind of top of the table, but if you go down there and keep it tight, then they will get frustrated and we can sort of grow into the game. But if you get away a silly goal early on, that puts a hand out the window.
Since they beat us in the Cup 1-0, they've won 3, drawn 2 and lost 1. But interestingly, apart from the East Fife game last week when they scored 5, they only scored 1 goal in those games, 2 of which of those games they didn't score, and those were against Forfar and Dumbarton. So yeah, they're lacking goals as such, as I said, apart from the East Fife game.
So maybe struggling with Lewis Vaughan.
Yes,
he was injured early on the season. He's out for a number of months, so it's maybe just taking a toll on them now slightly.
And well, obviously the results have kind of gotten better. Obviously with a 3-1, then a 4-0, then a 1-0 loss in there. So if the pattern continues, we should be looking at least a draw.
Or do a win, hopefully.
Do a win, yeah.
We played really well last time we were doing there. I think it was a referee that sort of with a penalty that Peterhead put into the SFA asking for clarification on the handball rule. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that gives us the confidence that we can play down there. I know that was in a cup game, it's slightly different. But if we go down with the same sort of attitude, I mention it quite a lot when you play Wraith and Falkirk, it's almost like a free hit. But you want to try, we're in a position now where every point is a prisoner, you want to try and get something. So if we can keep it tight and build from there, I'd be delighted if we can get something.
And the goal that we conceded down there was from a mistake, which seems to be the pattern of how we're conceding goals, is either a mistake or somebody for Wintrose is scoring a worldie. That seems to be the only way that we're conceding at the moment. So yeah, cut out the mistakes, don't concede early would be the team talk early on from Jim, I would say.
Yeah, hard to argue with that. It is something that has been with Achilles heel, mistakes. If we can keep it tight and look to build on a good early display, I think we can get something.
And we've got this game, and then straight after that we've got a home game to Falkirk. Obviously those were, you know, at the start of the season you probably look at those two games and you think, well, we're not going to get much out of that. Having seen what Falkirk have been struggling, let's be honest, they've been struggling. And Wraith, yes, they are top, but they're not in best of form. You might be a little bit more positive in thinking you're going to get something out of those two games now.
I actually fancy to do something against Falkirk at home. I know it's a couple of weeks away, but I really do. I think at home we can be really good, even with the elements against us yesterday with the wind. We still played well, created chances. Falkirk won't like to come up, but I'm sure Dave McCracken will have them well briefed.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, I think under previous management, they wouldn't have known how Balmore is in mid-January or early January. But with David McCracken there, I think he'll have him well drilled and let them know, you know, how it is. However, it's not until you actually play there until you realise how bad it can be. And yeah, if it is going to be a howling wind and it's going to be raining, these guys are really going to struggle.
Oh,
they're not going to like
it. They want a fancy coming up here on a cold, wet Saturday afternoon to play fat, but they'll just want back down the road, and hopefully we can take advantage of that.
So that's the two games before our sort of mini break. There is a Scottish Cup ties, which obviously we're not playing, so we want to try and get as many points in, get a little bit of a break before we start back again for another hefty schedule, I should say. But yeah, I think, well, I would predict we're going to get I'll go 1-1.
I was going to go for 1-1 myself, actually. Yes, yeah. We're in agreement this week on our prediction.
One of us got a prediction right last week. One of us said 2-0. Who was it?
I can't remember.
Can you remember?
No, so we'll swiftly move on.
Does that mean it would be me, would it? It's the first one of the season we've got right.
Yes, first prediction of the season we've got
right. It's only taken us to the end of December. Well, there you go. It must be a Christmas miracle. We've got a prediction right. So hopefully we'll get 2 in a row. And we'll get ourselves all excited and get crash and burn after that. So on that note then, that's it for another Blue Toon podcast. I'd like to thank Martin for his insight as usual, and of course we want to thank our sponsor and Marco's Chipper, and of course you guys as well for listening. So on behalf of Martin and myself, we'd like to wish you a happy, safe and prosperous new year. Cheers.